principal argument in this case is that the sufficient cause exceptions as enumerated in subsection 4 are capricious in that they are the epitome of a rule which is subject or apt to change suddenly. More specifically, that they ask the surface water appropriator to make fairly significant decisions based on concepts such as good husbandry, good faith, prudent person, standards of which are not defined within the statutory scheme in any respect. There's also no rule or regulation within the Department of Natural Resources which provides guidance either to the surface water appropriators themselves or to the director of the Department of Natural Resources, who is the sole individual who is the determiner of fact in that case, to make decisions.
Excuse me, Judge, go ahead.
Is your argument a constitutional challenge to the statute?
I think it is both a constitutional challenge and then also a factual issue as it relates to specific subsections or sufficient cause exceptions.
Could you explain, you're challenging on its face? Are you challenging it as applied? Has the state heard about this challenge?
We're challenging it as applied to the facts of this case. And I don't have time this morning to go through all of them, but I think the one that I would suggest the court pay the most attention to is subsection 4C, which is the sufficient cause exception that provides that if circumstances were such that a prudent person following the principles of good husbandry would not have been expected to use the water.
Is that a question of fact?
Yes, I believe it is.
Is that resolved against you?
It was resolved against us in that Director Dunnigan said, and I quote, "We do not know what use was made of the two fields between the last irrigation in 2013. Without this information, no determination could be made on whether good husbandry applies." Now, we would argue that the work...
Wasn't there also a factual determination that during that time frame that it was used for cattle?
The argument within the briefing is that it was used for cattle.
No, I meant within the order. Isn't there a finding that it was used for cattle?
I don't believe that it applies to subsection 4C, Your Honor. I'd have to pull up the order of cancellation to be certain of that fact. I would argue that it is irrelevant as it relates to the language of 4C, though, because 4C doesn't say or make an arbitrary distinction between row crop operations and or cattle operations, both of which are clearly agricultural uses. In this particular case, the facts as presented show that in 2008, the subject matter area was planted in alfalfa. The order of cancellation itself acknowledges that point. The field investigation report, which was put together by the Department of Natural Resources, also says that in 2013 it was converted to cane. And the field investigation report acknowledges, through its questioning of the tenant, that between those operative time frames, the area was used as grass and hay meadows. We also supplied Exhibit 11 in the case, which was an affidavit of the tenant, which further confirmed that he used those grass and hay meadows for his cattle operation during that subject matter time frame. I think probably the most important thing that the director overlooked was the discussion within the field investigation report where the tenant of the property explained that the reason that he did not irrigate the subject matter area was because this property was sub-irrigated, i.e. that the groundwater levels were high enough and plentiful enough that there was no need for additional irrigation of the subject matter area and property.
So is your argument
the irrigation permit?
I'm sorry, excuse me.
You really need the irrigation permit then if it's self-irrigated?
We didn't need the irrigation permit for grass and hay meadows at the time.
So is your argument that the determiner of facts was simply wrong?
He simply overlooked several key facts, I believe, Your Honor. And I think that is obvious in his conclusion that he did not know what the property was used for between 2008 and 2013, because I think there are facts in Exhibit 1, in Exhibit 11, which very clearly indicate what the property was used for during that operative time frame. I also think it's important to understand that the determiner of fact, i.e. the director in this case, didn't determine that my client acted imprudently, didn't determine that my client acted contrary to the principles of good husbandry, didn't determine, as the briefing from opposing counsel suggested, that the cattle operation doesn't qualify for sufficient cause or matters of convenience don't apply. for sufficient cause, but rather just that he didn't know between 2008 and 2013 how the property was used, and as such, he couldn't make a factual determination of whether
Whose burden was it to establish how the property was used?
It was our burden, and I think, again, through Exhibits 1 and 11, we did meet that burden.
And again, could you inform us what do you think 1 and 11 demonstrate?
Yes, Your Honor. Exhibit 1 was the field investigation report, which was put together by the DNR investigator. Mm-hmm. Exhibit 11 is the affidavit of the tenant of the subject matter area property. Who was the tenant over that 2008 through 2013 time frame?
And that shows water was used for?
There was not a need for water.
Not a need for water, but was there not contrary evidence that there was a need for water as offered by the department?
No, Your Honor. The only thing that I'm aware of, which would have potentially been an argument for the water, was an exhibit which indicated that irrigated hay ground yielded higher yields than non-irrigated hay ground. There was a series of documents which indicated that, but there was no individual who went through and determined that the cost to my client would have been an offset.
I meant to say in terms of climatic conditions. Wasn't there testimony offered by the department, right?
Certainly, Your Honor.
1 year, was it 93, water would be needed to irrigate crops. Is that correct?
There was the opposite, I would argue, Your Honor. There was documentation which indicated that the water was sufficient such that there wasn't a need. And I think that spoke to a different subsection, because again, there is, within subsection 4, there's the section A, section B, section C, section D criteria. One of those sections, I believe, off the top of my head, it's subsection B, asks whether or not there is a need from a climactic standpoint for the water. What I'm referring to is subsection C, which doesn't get into whether or not there was a climactic need for the water, i.e. whether or not there was sufficient water, but rather whether a prudent person using the principles of good husbandry would have been expected to use the water.
Would have been expected for good husbandry purposes.
Exactly.
So your point is good husbandry purposes did not require use of water.
That's
what your evidence shows. Is that correct?
Yes.
And your purposes were cattle. Is that correct?
Was what? Excuse me?
The tenant was raising cattle. Right?
Yes, the tenant was using it for grass and hay meadows for their cattle operation. That's
so it was
correct.
A cattle operation.
Yes, and there was sufficient sub-irrigation to support that grass and hay operation for the cattle.
I see. And now you have some argument in here to the effect that you sought a stay and that it was error not to grant a stay. Could you explain that, please?
I'm not sure what that is, Your Honor, off the top of my head. I'd have to refer back to my briefing as to... We are arguing not that we did not use the property. We are acknowledging that it wasn't used over the operative five-year time frame. We're also acknowledging that the facts of the case support that point. We're simply arguing that there were exceptions which would have stayed, in essence, i.e. that over that 15-year time frame, the lapsing or cancellation of our surface water appropriation.
Thank you.
I'd like to reserve the remaining 45 seconds, if I may, Your Honors.
Thank you. Mr. Levine, good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Jeff Levine, and may it please the Court. I'm Assistant Attorney General, today representing the Department of Natural Resources. We would ask that this Court affirm the Director's order in canceling Appropriation A-7603 for non-use of irrigation for five consecutive years. As the Director properly determined, based upon the evidence, that the appellant failed to meet their burden of proof to show that there is sufficient cause for non-use under 46229.04. The Director's factual determinations in this case were supported by competent relevant evidence and were not arbitrary and capricious. This case really revolves around choices, and it's the choices that the Trust made with regard to subject property and the use of their surface water appropriation. The difference between Section 46229 and what the appellants did with their property is basically one of control. And did they have control over the situation and circumstances pursuant to a sufficient cause for non-use. And when I say that, when you go through 46229, most of those provisions basically deal with things that are outside of the control of the appellant. And therefore, they could not make choices, i.e. climatic conditions. A hailstorm comes and destroys a crop. You wouldn't need to irrigate that property. With regard to dictates of good husbandry, if it rained all summer in nice incremental times, you wouldn't be required to apply irrigation to the land. However, in this case, it was the choices of the appellants that had them not use the irrigation. And I can tell you, as the policy of the state of Nebraska, that with regard to the public waters available for appropriation for irrigation purposes, it should be administered to secure the greatest benefit of water use in the state, and that is actually using the water. It must be remembered this is a surface water irrigation right. It is meant to be have that water applied to the land for the raising of a crop. And if someone doesn't use that water, state of Nebraska mandates that if for 5 consecutive years you don't use that water, then you lose that appropriation. And why is that? Because we want to free up that water for other individuals that can utilize it. And that would be either junior appropriators upstream, or that would be individuals that would want to apply to the department for an application, or with an application to appropriate that water. And so we want to make sure that people are utilizing the water, putting it to a beneficial use, and if they're not going to, we want to be able to give it to someone else. In that regard, this court should reject the arguments of the appellants for non-use, because economic or income decisions based upon whether or not it's more profitable to lease ground to someone who's going to raise cattle, whether or not they can receive better income if they do not repair their equipment, all those things, if the court would agree to that, would be economic decisions that would basically eviscerate the statutory mandates to secure the greatest benefit of this water, and would basically eliminate the 5-year rule for non-use pursuant to the statutes.
You referred to some Kansas cases with respect to economic use and choices.
I do. We have some case law in the state of Nebraska with regard to we don't allow sufficient cause for non-use based on convenience. It's too hard to go and irrigate with surface water. The case that we cited to in Kansas dealt specifically with economic decisions by the appropriator as to why that should not be used for sufficient cause for non-use.
Are you aware of Nebraska authority to the same effect?
Not with regard to the very specific language regarding economics or
economic choice.
What's that?
Economic choice.
Economic choice, correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
And so that we pointed to that case simply because the court should be aware that in other jurisdictions with regard to surface water rights that are under the doctrine of prior appropriation and that have similar statutes for non-use and sufficient cause for non-use, that there have been decisions made that someone can't come in and say, well, we made more money by not irrigating. That should not be sufficient cause for non-use because, quite frankly, that could be an argument in any situation. That could be an argument for almost any landlord-tenant relationship to say, well, of course I made more money with this individual who's going to raise cattle. But again, these are choices.
Isn't the argument here that they didn't need the water during those particular years?
I believe what you just heard a little bit was that maybe there was some evidence with regard to sub-irrigation of the property. And I guess I would go back to what the dictates of good husbandry require. And for
how would that not be good husbandry?
Well, Your Honor, it's not good two things. Number one, you are mandated to utilize your irrigation supply to the extent that it's needed to raise a crop. There was evidence presented in the record that 2012, it was a very, very, very dry year. And for the dictates of good husbandry, if you have an irrigation right, you should utilize it to raise and grow your crop. And in that instance, they should have utilized surface water irrigation to supplement any subterranean groundwater supply that might have been feeding that. But it should have been put to a use in 2012. And so that was one year that was pointed out to be a very dry year where irrigation water would have benefited the production of raising hay or grass.
What is the scope of the appropriation? Was for irrigation purposes?
The scope of the appropriation is for irrigation purposes. And again, I go back to choices. If you choose not to raise a crop,
I'm sorry, is there anything more definitive in the appropriation? In other words, there's appropriations, say, for hydroelectric purposes and so forth, right? That's a beneficial use.
Right.
Not our case, right?
That is not our case here. This appropriation is for surface water to irrigate crops. And that is it. So that is the beneficial use. And so if you're not putting it to that beneficial use during the 5 consecutive year time frame as laid out in the statute, you are subject to potentially losing that appropriation unless there's sufficient cause for non-use. And again, I go back to the director, after reviewing the entire record, And again, I would state that it is the burden of proof upon the appellant here to show that there was sufficient cause. And again, simply because he chose to raise grass that he did not feel needed to be irrigated, again, is his choice. They could have raised row crops. They could have entered into a lease agreement with someone that would have raised row crops. I think one of the justices...
So is the requirement that they raise row crops?
It's not that they raise row crops, but it's that they apply this irrigation or this water for irrigation. And if they choose not to do so, then they are subject to losing that right, so that we can free that right up for other individuals.
So if we have held in water appropriation versus Haas-Stetler that there is no substance to the contention that the use of the creek water to water cattle is a use within the meaning of the appropriation, you would agree with such an outcome in this case?
Yes, I would, Your Honor. There's nothing that says this water right is to give cattle a water supply, or again, if we're dealing with the situation where there was grass or hay meadows, it should have been irrigated using the surface water appropriation.
That's not a crop as anticipated by irrigating your crops. That's an incident to the cattle operation.
Well, it could potentially be both. Quite frankly, hay or the meadow could be baled and then sold off or as a crop. If there was, again, I think the evidence in the record shows that had they applied irrigation water to that meadow, they would have received a lot more hay. And so maybe that would have been an overabundance that could have been sold or something else. But regardless of that...
Where does the record stand?
With regard to the hay?
Yeah.
There was evidence in the record presented that the application of the surface water to the hay would have increased the amount of hay that was produced during that year. And so it would have been a beneficial use to apply that water to raise a crop, if you will, at that time. Again, they chose not to do so.
Are you talking about past years or 2012?
46229 requires that when the inspection is done by the department, that they will look back to the previous 5 consecutive years. And that's what happened in this case. And there's no factual argument in this case that it was not irrigated for 5 years. Once that determination is made and the field investigation report by the department becomes prima facie evidence of that fact, the burden then shifts onto the appellant or to the surface water appropriator to show, if they can, that there was sufficient cause for not using that appropriation during that five-year consecutive
period. For the entire 5-year period?
Yes. And so that's the argument of the state. Again, you use it or you lose it. We want to be able to put that water to a beneficial use. We do not want individuals in the state to hold what we call paper water rights, meaning they have a right to appropriate water, and they just hold on to it.
Yeah, you think they missed out on 212. The other 4 years were okay?
I think there was evidence in the record that they could have used it all 5 years, but I think 2012 was one year that was specifically pointed out in the record to say it was extremely dry. It was a major drought year for the state of Nebraska, and had they applied that surface water to the ground, it would have benefited the grass or any crops that were grown. Again, choices were made to not do that to benefit the income for the beneficiary, but regardless, those are choices that they made. We want to free up that water. The statutes mandate that we provide and secure the greatest benefit of the water in the state. And that benefit is actually using the water on the lands to be able to raise crops.
How do you understand what the arbitrary, capricious, and arguably a constitutional challenge to be? How would you frame that issue if the issue is in the case?
I would say that we were having a little bit of trouble trying to understand exactly what the legal argument was with regard to an arbitrary and capricious due process claim. And I say that in so much as the director's order in this case of cancellation was a proper exercise of the state's police power. I think case law sets that out clearly.
You may finish.
Sets that out clearly that there is a state police power, and what the director ordered pursuant to those statutes expressly conform with the statutory cancellation procedures in this case. And therefore, based upon the evidence that was provided, the appellant in this case simply did not meet the burden of proof to show sufficient cause for non-use. And therefore, we ask that you affirm the director's order in this case. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have time for rebuttal?
He has 45 seconds.
45 seconds, Mr. Loster.
Thank you. I'll very quickly touch on one point. I think the argument from opposing counsel as to 4 subsection C is that they would like the court to go outside the confines of what currently is Nebraska law and adopt what Kansas did and restrict those economic considerations that every farmer, every rancher has in deciding whether or not to utilize the irrigation and say that that isn't a sufficient cause, even though the statutory framework doesn't say that and there's no case authority in Nebraska that says that. Also, I would point out the convenience case that is being referred to by counsel is Appropriation A4924, in which all the court said in that case was that the lead boss testified that it was a matter of convenience and that no evidence was presented to establish how mere convenience could rise. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next case of the day is State v. Matthew G. Henriksen.